And do you guys remember that gathering we had just a month ago or so? You remember that? That big gathering we had? Huh? No, not P. Nate. Very good. The SP retreat. I know. It was exactly 5 weeks ago. I know. I was also surprised because I was like, it's only been 5 weeks. It's only been a month, but it feels like it was just ages ago, but it was only 5 weeks ago. And I remember there was this night where Pastor Tony, at the retreat, he was kind of praying over us and praying over spiritual gifts. And then he just started calling out these different gifts. If you want the gift, like, if whatever gift you desire, just call it out. And then he said, and if you want more, just grab onto it. And he started just listing them. And as he's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll have that. Oh, yeah, okay, I have that. I'd like that. And I remember the one that really stuck out to me was he said the distinguishing of spirits. Like, all of them was kind of familiar and just kind of said, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, God's generous and I'm greedy, so I'll take them all. But I remember the distinguishing of spirits kind of stood out. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that one. And kind of something a little crazy happened. I mean, I guess that's what happens, right? When you pray for a certain gift, the release of that gift, what follows, is opportunities to walk in it. Does that make sense? And so the night that we got back from retreat, so this was Monday night, went to bed, and in the middle of the night, I woke up. And at the foot of my bed, I saw these two shadows. I know, sorry, I don't want to freak people out. There's these two shadows, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And just standing there. I think they were kind of female-looking shadows. And so at that point, I knew. There was a moment, okay, 0.5 seconds, I was kind of freaked out. Like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to close my eyes. But instead, I think this was with the gift, any spiritual gift, you have opportunity to walk, and I just started praying. Just praying in tongues. That's why praying in tongues is awesome, because what do you say, right? I guess you can say, in Jesus' name, go away, but then that's about 3 seconds, then what? And so that's when I started to pray in tongues and just prayed and prayed and prayed, and then eventually went away and went back to sleep, very peaceful sleep. And so why do I mention that is because today, just following that, I'm going to share about spiritual gifts and prophecy. It's going to be a very simple sermon just to kind of get you started, but I just wanted to talk about spiritual gifts. So if you would just join me in a word of prayer. Yes, Jesus, we give thanks. You're amazing, you're real, you're working in the midst of us, and even from last Friday, the testimony Sim Miao shared, you're moving, you're healing. And you use us, and even in that moment, you use Pastor Che and his congregation team to walk in the gift, spiritual gift of healing, Lord. And these spiritual gifts are so special, Lord. They're so significant. And so, Lord, would you just use me today in this sermon just to speak your word, truth, and also give us a holy desire for you and your gifts. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. And so today, to start, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts. And so the verse for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It's going to be on the screen. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Some translations, instead of the word unaware, it says, "Do not be ignorant." In other words, it is important for us to be aware of this topic, to understand this topic. What are spiritual gifts? When we accept Jesus' invitation for him to be our Lord and Savior, we are saved by grace through faith because of what Jesus did on the cross for us and his resurrection. And when that happens, something very significant happens, and it is that the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells in us. This is super significant. There was a study that was done by a Chinese professor, mainland Chinese professor, and he studied every single religion. And his conclusion from studying every religion was that Christianity was so special because it's the only religion where what happens when you become a follower, you get the presence of God. That's amazing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul also writes, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And so when the Spirit of God dwells in us, we're a new creation. We are continually sanctified. I know it's kind of a fancy word, but what that means is as a new creation, we are continually being transformed to be more like Jesus. And so we have a new life and we have a new purpose, and it is accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this power of the Holy Spirit, how is it demonstrated? It's demonstrated through the spiritual gifts. That's how it's demonstrated. And so let me make this point and statement. It's going to be on the screen. Spiritual gifts are the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in you. They're the evidence that Holy Spirit is living in you. So I want to make it clear, I'm not saying or implying the opposite, which is if you don't walk in spiritual gifts, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. I am not saying that, because Scripture is clear that, just as I said earlier, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you get the Holy Spirit. However, I don't know what's going on in a person's heart, right? I don't know how sincere someone is when they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Only God knows. And so how do I know? It's when people walk in their spiritual gifts, right? Like when, for example, last Friday when Pastor Che, when he prayed for people and people were slain, I go, oh, wow. God is really moving in Pastor Che. That is the conclusion I come to. That doesn't necessarily, I think sometimes we take it too far, maybe where we think, oh, because they're walking in a spiritual gift, therefore we almost overproject, like, oh, then they must be this or that, or like, you know, judge their character. I think sometimes we take that too far. But I can make the conclusion, wow, they're really moving and the Holy Spirit is in them. And in Acts 1:8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness." And so that's how we be the witness. Of course, there's a part of it is we just got to share, right? But sometimes you ever feel like you share and the words just aren't getting through, right? And then they're like, oh, I don't even know. Like, that's your opinion. But is God really who you say he is? Is he really real? Well, when you walk in spiritual gifts, what happens? People are like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? That's real. That's the Holy Spirit. And so that's also how we witness. My point is, in all this, I want us to recognize the significance of spiritual gifts, right? It's not just something there and, you know, it's important. So what are the spiritual gifts? So it's going to be on the screen. And this is a list that's compiled from Romans 12, 6, 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 11, 28, chapter 28, and Ephesians 4, 11. And so really there's three categories of gifts. There's the sign gifts, which include prophecy, word of knowledge, healing. So healing, of course, is what happened to Simeon. Miracles, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Then there are the word gifts, There's teaching, exhortation, that's encouragement, words of wisdom. Then there are the help gifts, service, giving, mercy, leadership, faith, apostle, helps, administration. And so the thing about gifts is it's up to the giver to give you the gifts. It's not really up to you, right? And likewise, with spiritual gifts, it's up to God to give it to you. And so I know on Sunday, like at the retreat, we talked about, oh, just grab it. Well, it's not that, oh, once you grab it and say, this is what I want, you get it. That's not really what was happening. It's more you're expressing to God, this is what I want. And then it's up to God, okay, if that's what you want, here is the spiritual gift. I'm going to release it upon you. And so something to consider that I think is helpful when you are especially starting out and you're exploring spiritual gifts, what is the right kind of mindset considerations to have? And so I want to just pivot for a second and just think about your birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, or you just want to get somebody a gift, okay? When someone wants to give you a gift, what are some things they would consider? Like, what are they thinking about when they're getting somebody a gift? I have 3 points. Number one, when you get someone a gift, what is in consideration? Do they desire the gift? Right? Do they desire? Every time I get invited to a birthday or every time I throw a party for my kids or my wife, I get all these messages. And the message is, hey, what does Danielle and Jane, what are they into? Hey, what does Janie like? Right? Because as the gift giver, you want to give someone a gift that they like, that they desire. And, you know, my kids, you know, I'm a kid, I'm a gifts person. It's probably one of my primary love languages. And it's important to me. One of the keys is how much my kids want this. How excited are they about the gift? And if they're excited, like, I hype things up. I always do like, okay, I have a gift for you. Okay, sit on the couch, close your eyes and open your hands. And they're like all like, what is it? What? Keep your eyes. And then I put it in and they're like, oh. And sometimes it's like a piece of chocolate, right? But they just love gifts. I love giving them gifts. And why I enjoy doing that is because their desire for their gifts. Whether it be gifts or when you serve some people, like their desire makes a difference. Something that drives me crazy is my wife. You know, every time I ask her, hey, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? At nighttime, I say, hey, I'm making some tea. Would you like some? You know what her response is? She goes, sure. And it happened a few times, and finally I was like, what does that mean? Sure, like I'm open to it. Like, if you happen to do it, then I'll have it. And then she was like, no, it means yes. I'm like, well, can you be more expressive? Like, I would love a cup of tea. That would hit the spot. Right? In the office, when we ask, like, hey, I'm making coffee, anyone want some? And people are like, yes, I need it. Thank you so much. And then I'm like, and so, like, one of the things I really appreciate about Gen Z is this term they use. Let's go. And when they do it, they do this. Or as Rachel Chow does, they go, let's go. Which means, like, I'm excited. Let's do it. Now I kind of do it sometimes with my kids, right? And it's fun because, like, it's kind of this, like, understanding. We're excited to do this together. So all to say, my point is, number one, consideration for a gift is the desire for the gift. And so likewise, that is the same for spiritual gifts. Your desire for spiritual gifts is important. I would think it's important because God wants you to desire it and want it before he gives it to you. He doesn't want to give you a gift that you don't really care about. How do we know this? 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul writes, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Not to be open, like, oh, I'm just, yeah, if you want to give it to me, I'll take it. But desire earnestly. So do you desire spiritual gifts earnestly? Now, number two is the reason I think people oftentimes give you a gift that you desire is that they hope you'll like it, but also that it would be useful. Right? So that's number two. My point is, will you use the gift? The most frustrating thing is when you get someone a gift and they don't use it. Why? Well, one, it's a disappointment because you're hopeful that they would like it and use it. But secondly, it's just a waste of money and resources. You're thinking, oh, if you're not gonna use that purse I got you, I should have just spent it on sushi instead. I don't know. I don't know why sushi, but I should have got you something else instead, right? That will not be the example for the second service. And also, you know, we're instructed by God to be a good steward, right? And so, regarding spiritual gifts, if you're not going to use it anyway, and I think one thing about God is he's wise. He knows if this is going to be a good usage or if it's a good idea to release a gift to you, but also, if he knows that you had no intention of using the gift anyway, maybe God is being merciful by not giving it to you yet. Because otherwise, you're going to fall into the situation of you're not stewarding your gift. And I was talking to Pastor Che about spiritual gifts, and he kind of said, yeah, spiritual gifts, it's kind of like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. If you use it, it gets stronger, it becomes more effective, it's able to do more. But if you don't use it, it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker to the point where it's like it's not even there. That's number two. And then number three, considerations for any gift, is the gift good for you? Is the gift going to be good for you? I love my children. Will I give something that's going to be destructive for them? Of course not. I mean, granted, sometimes I want to spoil them a little, but will I ever buy them like cigarettes or will I buy them drugs? Of course not. And even something that is inherently maybe good, if it's not good for them, I'm not going to give it to them yet. And so a conversation that I've had with my daughter, she's currently 9, I think we had this conversation when she was 6 or 7, was regarding smartphones. And through that, no judgment on anybody, but through our discussion, I told her, you're not going to get a smartphone until you're 16. Why? Well, I know what it's like to have a smartphone. Even for me, I'm so aware of what it is, what it does, like whether it be the social media, the reels, the TikTok, such a waste of time. But yet, it's so easy to pass the time doing it. It's so addictive. In fact, I believe that's the whole point of these companies making these videos. They want you to be addicted, to continue to consume the content. I'm aware of that, and I have to be so intentional to not do it. My kids don't have that type of self-control or even thoughts towards it. Right now they think iPad, phone, just so fun. It's my 15 minutes that I get on the weekend with it. And so I've made a decisive decision to not give them a phone until they're 16. However, I have made a deal with Danielle, which is when she turns 16, she's going to get an iPhone. Not just any iPhone, but my current iPhone 12. She's very excited. It's going to be a very limited edition at that point. It's true. And just like us, God even more so, he desires to give you a good gift. Matthew 7:11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So, same goes for spiritual gifts. Good in itself, but maybe we are not mature enough to walk in them. If the gift causes us to be self-reliant, to be proud, arrogant, to feel like we are superior to others, we use the gift for our personal gain, to manipulate people, then perhaps that's why God in his wisdom has not released the gift to us yet. We are not ready. We are not ready. So I believe that every believer with the Holy Spirit has at least one spiritual gift. And to find out what is your spiritual gift, what do you do? What do you do? Well, first, this is like just God's provident timing. For you guys specifically that are here today, what do you do if you really want to explore these spiritual gifts? Because I just listed them. Some of them, you're like, what is that? Is that a spiritual gift I'd like? So this Saturday, John Peck is holding a workshop for spiritual gifts. This Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4:30. It's a full day, very just hands-on with teaching and workshop. So if you'd like to learn more, can you put it on the screen, the slide? It's not on there. Or it is out there. Anyway, we'll put there it is. So you can scan the QR code to register. But if you'd like to learn more, then this is an opportunity for you to really learn and explore the spiritual gifts. But also, how can you really figure out what is your spiritual gift? Is first, you pray. You pray. Simple. You pray. And the second thing you do is you serve. Serve. Why serve? How does serving help you to figure out what your spiritual gifts are? 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, spiritual gifts are for helping others. Spiritual gifts is for serving. That's the ends, or that's the goal. It's to serve. And so, if you want to figure out what spiritual gifts, accomplish the goal. Start serving, and as you serve, I believe, and as you do what you have to do, whatever ministry or whatever it is doing, God will start to release those gifts to help you in your service. So start serving. And then afterwards, maybe you've been exposed to many spiritual gifts. How do you know what is the or what is your spiritual gift? How do you know? The answer is, if you feel like everyone should have that gift. So if you feel like everyone needs to have this gift, that's probably your gift. You've probably seen it. Have you ever met someone who is like, everyone needs to evangelize? Kind of true, but they're like, that's the most important. Everyone needs to evangelize. It's because they have the evangelism gift. Or some people say, everyone needs to be a pastor. It's so important, you know, that we disciple and we guide and we support. Everyone needs to be a pastor. Thus, they probably have the pastoral gift. And we see this also in Apostle Paul. He talks about singleness and the gift of celibacy and how amazing it is. It's so good. You can just do what you want, whenever you want. You don't have to talk to your wife about it and say, hey, I'm thinking of visiting this church, and get her feedback and okay. You just go. Right? He loves this gift. He thinks everyone should have it. In 1 Corinthians 7:7, he says, I wish that all men were even as I myself am. But Paul's got a lot of wisdom. He goes on to say, however, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. So Paul has the wisdom, even though that's how he passionately feels, like this is the best gift. Celibacy is the best. everyone, they should have it. But he has the wisdom to know to not impose that on others. And he recognized there's many gifts, and different people have different gifts. And the different gifts are meant to complement each other. That's the body of Christ, different parts of the body coming together to work together to accomplish his purposes. And so for me, what is the gift that I feel passionately about, that I feel everybody should also have? It's a gift of prophecy. And so that's my second part today. I'm just going to briefly talk about the gift of prophecy. And I think Paul also feels the same way about prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So Paul, just like me, in the area of prophecies, the best one. And so what is the gift of prophecy? Okay, the gift of prophecy, this is the definition. The gift of prophecy is to speak forth the mind and heart of God. These words may be to encourage, comfort, challenge, or strengthen God's people. And because God transcends time, this gift may lead one to have the ability to predict future events through visions or dreams. Possessors of this gift are able to proclaim divine revelation and can prophetically reveal what is hidden. And so it is to speak forth what is on God's heart. In order to speak forth what is on God's heart, what must happen first is you must hear what is on God's heart. John 10:27-28, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's it, right? And so, yes, we need to hear the voice of God. And oftentimes, we don't take the time to listen. We just ask. Sometimes our prayers is just asking. Or we just, and there's nothing wrong with this either, like when we pray for someone, we just pray over them. We know, we figure out what their needs are, and we bless it and pray. And so when you're walking in the prophetic gift, there's an element of listening too. And you know, I've been on the receiving end of this prophetic gift, which is probably why I love this gift. Usually you've been impacted by a gift, and so then you want to walk in this gift to bless others. Really, how I came to faith and my first exposure where that aha moment where I was like, oh my gosh, God could be real, it was someone prophesied over me. And then throughout my life, I've had these type of experiences. About, I think, 3-4 years into working at SP, I kind of had an existential crisis. I was thinking of leaving SP and doing something else. And, I don't know, just wanted to do something else. Grass is greener. And I was kind of back and forth. And I remember at one of the SP retreats, no one knew what was going on except for Janie and I think maybe my accountability and Nate and Matt. Pastor Sam had no idea. No one else had any idea. And then suddenly, out of the blue, like the pastor Ong Sek Leng, that was his name. I think he was from Singapore. And he came, and he just was preaching. And then suddenly, out of the blue, he looks right at me. Sorry, Christina. He looks at me, and all he just says, "Stay." That was it. He said, "Stay." And then he moved on. Didn't elaborate, didn't bless me or pray. He just said, "Stay." I was like, clear. But that did something, right? Because we're in that point of, you know, like career change, job change. It's confusing. What do I do? You don't know what's best. And the word of God came, and he spoke to me. And first, it brought clarity. I don't have to like, oh, what should I do? But also, it's like, oh, God, you see me, you care for me, that you would call me out in that moment. So I've been so blessed with that gift that now I also walk in that gift. And so I've been walking in this gift for a while now. And so I just have a few things to share. And this is more maybe for those of you who have also started to walk in this gift.
or I guess it kind of applies to any spiritual gifts, really, but it's going to be more in the context of the prophetic. So I have two kind of keys first, two keys to walking in the prophetic. Number one, it's not about you. It's not about you. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in another serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's not about you. It's about serving each other. Ephesians 4:11, 12, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. It's for the building of the body, building of the church, to help one another. It's not about you. You just got to always tell you, it's not about you. Because the problem is, anytime we walk in the prophetic gift, we make it about ourselves. So easily. You have a word, maybe, you know, we have the All Sons meeting where we come together and Pastor Sam says, hey, if you have a word for the church, please come up and share. And then maybe a word comes. And you're like, oh, no. Is it God? Oh, I don't know. It's so embarrassing. Oh, is it the right timing? And you go through this whole dialogue that could last like 10, 15 minutes. Those 10, 15 minutes, you made it about yourself. Right? It's me. Oh, I don't know. Is it right? Me. It's so easy. And so you just got to break out of that and say, it's not about me. It's about the church. It's this word is meant to help, so that's why I'm going to just go up and share it. It's not about me. The second key is it's about love. It's about love. 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If it is not done in love, it's pretty much worthless. If it's not done in love, and accord with this kind of illustration or this picture, it's actually kind of annoying. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that where someone has prayed and prophesied over you and you just didn't feel the love. It's just noise. It's really hard to kind of receive. And so it's all about love. And that's kind of the motivation that is connected to it's not about you. Right? It's not about your benefit. It's about loving the other person. So if it's not about you and it's not about love, what does that actually look like in the execution and practicality of doing the prophetic? And so I have four, I know there's a lot of points. I have four very practical points. This is it. FYI, this is it. I have four very practical points. Number one, if you're really, it's not about you, it's about love, you have to be confident. You have to be confident in what you share. And I know a lot of times when you receive a word for somebody, you're not confident. You're not sure. And so I would say, I'm not saying you have to fake it, but at least you have to convey confidence. I'm not saying to pretend you're not. I'm saying you got to convey the confidence. Because if you're not confident, even if it's true, even if it's accurate, it's not going to come out impactful. It'd be like, you know, this is natural. I've done the same thing. So, like, oh, yeah, I got a word, but I'm not even really sure. I don't know. So, like, maybe, possibly, God loves you and he's going to provide for you. So of course the person, oh, like very gracious. Oh, thank you. Impact, like you're so unsure, it's made me unsure. So you need to be confident. Again, it's not about you, it's about love. I know the reason we do that is because we want to be understood. And we want people to, you know, if we make a mistake and if it's not good, that they would be very gracious to us and be like, oh, it's okay. That it's because you really weren't sure. And so you know what I do? I have to turn on a switch in my head. And I have to do something that's really awkward for me and unnatural. And so if it's a word like God loves you and he'll provide for you, I'll actually tell myself, okay, look into their eyes. And then intently, it's not natural. It's like me like coming up with a game plan of this is what you got to do, Kenny, because it's not about you. It's about impacting them. I'll look at them and I'll say, Matt, God wants you to know that he loves you and he's going to provide for you. Right? See the impact difference? And so we need to be confident, not for us, but for them. Right? So number one is be competent. Be confident, also competent. And number two, this is really hard. This is probably the hardest one, I think, in some ways. I want to say, share the interpretation instead of the picture. This is hard because oftentimes when we hear from God and want to share with someone, we get a picture. And I know already people are like, what? How dare you say don't share the picture? The picture is the best part. The picture is the best part for you. Because the picture helps you to understand what is on God's heart for the other person. And so the picture might not be that meaningful to the other person. But why do we want to share the picture? Again, we want to be understood. We want people to know the context and situation of how this interpretation, this meaning came out. And sometimes when you share the picture and then the word, it just becomes so long. I'll be honest. Sometimes when people prophesy me over, like really long, I actually will zone out. Anyone else? Good. Whew. I always thought it was just my thing. Like, what? Even afterwards, when I realized I zoned out, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Come on, focus. They're prophesying over you. But that's what happens. And so we want to just share the interpretation. Keep it simple, right? Make it direct. Share the interpretation so that they know exactly what the main thing is, and then you can bless them. Share the interpretation. I know this is very hard because we already have a habit of like, oh, you know, I got this picture of a balloon and the balloon is flowing away. It's red and, you know, then and it represents that God wants you to be free. Just share. God wants you to be free. Now, sometimes, still pray about it. Maybe God wants you to share the picture. I've seen that happen. I was on a mission trip to Cambodia, and a brother of mine, he's not here anymore, Tom Choi, he only had the picture. No interpretation. And I judged him, like, what? What is that? You're going to make them, like, try to unfigure it out? I was like, oh, fine. He's like, that's all I have. Like, I feel like I should share this. So he shared a picture. The picture was this. A balloon and had a string on it. So he goes, hey, he shared with this lady, and he said, hey, I just got a picture of a balloon, and the balloon had a string on it. As soon as he shared it, she started weeping. Everyone around her who knew her was like, oh my gosh. I was like, what is going on? Turns out she loves balloons. Everywhere, like everything, on her backpack, she has balloons. On her, the moped, scooter, she actually has a balloon tied to it. And so she loves balloons. And so, good job, Tom. He just stayed faithful to it. And to her, it was like, oh my gosh, God, you're real. Right? You know what I love. And it was good for everyone else. So that's number two. Share the interpretation, not the picture. Number three is, it must be encouraging. Every prophetic word should be encouraging. If it's not encouraging, or if you can't think of a way how to say it so it's encouraging, don't say it. Maybe it's just for yourself to pray. But if you have something, the strategy is you don't want to embarrass people or expose people for the things that are in their life, right? So then pray in the opposite. So example, Say, Matt, I'm praying and God reveals to me that he's watching porn and giving into pornography all the time. So I'm not going to say, hey, God knows you're watching porn, you got to stop it, right? That's the revelation. But how do you deliver the message in an encouraging way? I'm not going to expose him that or like condemn him for it. I'm going to say, hey, God wants to give you his strength to overcome your desires, your temptations, give you a strong will, to give you discipline, and really spend your time to be fruitful. You see what, I'm praying for that topic, but I'm praying in the opposite, in a good way, right? If someone is suffering from insecurities, you pray for boldness. Someone's suffering from depression, you pray for hope in their lives. So that's how, as God, that's why it requires a lot of thought doing the prophetic. You can't just blurt out whatever it comes. You gotta think. You gotta process. You gotta be wise in how you share. And finally, number four. Number four is kind of a general rule. No mates, no dates, no babies. No mates, no dates, no babies. What does that mean? Don't prophesy. Even if you feel it, don't speak out like, oh yeah, you're going to get married to this person. Or, oh, that person is your future spouse. Don't pray that. Don't do dates. Don't be like, on this specific day, this is going to happen. And don't pray, yes, this year you're going to have a baby. Why? Because it's high risk. It's very high risk. If it doesn't happen, people are going to be disappointed in you. And even worse, they're going to be disappointed in God. And here's what I want to say. Even, okay, so you get that word, and you didn't share it. If that word is true, they're still going to have the baby. That's the most important part, right? Do you think at that point you're like, oh, shoot, I wish I had told you? They're like, it's fine. I have the baby now, right? It really is okay. So don't share that. The reason we share that, we want to share, again, I want to say, we make it about ourselves sometimes. Like, oh, it's about me, like, I need to have this experience, and oh, if it's right, then I'm right. That'll be amazing. And yes, that's true. But I think in this case with mates, dates, and babies, it's too high risk. And so just one thing to mention is if you're on the receiving end of prayer, and sometimes this stuff happens, right? Or someone just gives you a word, end of the day, that word doesn't define you, right? We don't get our value from a word. We get it from God. And so any word that you receive, just go back to pray for it. Just pray about it. And if it's trash, throw it out. Put it in the recycle bin, empty it. And especially if any word that you get that goes against the word of God, that's what you would do, right? God's not going to give a word that goes against what he's written in Scripture. And if it doesn't make sense, we do something. We say, we put it on the shelf. We put it in the archives. You put it away. And maybe someday it'll make sense. But if it doesn't, you're not thinking about it either. You just put it away. And if the word makes sense, it resonates with your soul, you feel like God is saying, yes, this is good for you, it's encouraging, then hold on to it. Hold on to it and be encouraged. I invite the worship team up. So I want to say that, you know, prophecy and really all spiritual gifts, it's really an admission to your weakness. Why do I love the prophetic gift? You know why? Because I don't know how to pray. Sometimes I'm in difficult situations. I've said all I could say. I feel like I'm at a loss for words. It's not very impactful. And so I need the prophetic so that I know how to pray for somebody. Last Friday, I was playing basketball. with some college kid. And at the end of this, kind of somehow God led us to just share and talk about life. And so I shared the whole gospel with him, right? The idea of, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us, resurrected. The wages of sin is death, and he paid for it. This is about relationship. This is not about us being perfect. In fact, we're so imperfect. That's why we need this Lord and Savior. Said everything I could say. And at that point, I was like, okay, I guess I did all I could do. And I didn't lead him to the sinner's prayer because at that point, I just felt like he still didn't get it yet. So I kind of don't rush into that. I just want to make sure they know what they're getting themselves into. And so I kind of stood up, kind of like, all right, see you around. And as I stood up, the Holy Spirit was like, why don't you pray and prophesy over him? And then I kind of had an internal struggle. It's so silly. My internal struggle is, but I just stood up. It's going to be awkward. I stood up and then I sat back down, like after talking to him. So I was like, for a moment. And then I sat back down and I said, hey, can I pray for you? And he said, it was weird. It was just me and him on the basketball court, a bunch of people like staring at us and still playing basketball. And so I prayed for him. I prayed for him. I prophesied to him. And it was this thing where, I ran out of words to say. But in that moment when I was praying and prophesying, it was like God suddenly like gave insight. Everything we were just talking about, he helped me to connect the dots and just pray for him in a very personal way that kind of touched him. And so I told him about Alpha afterwards. And he's open to join. He thanked me. He didn't have to do that. It's like he's like 21 years old. He thanked me for the time. Said he'll like read the material I gave him. And so the prophetic really is an admission to your weakness. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to minister to people. In my own strength. I'm just not eloquent. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. And so that's why I love the prophetic gift. Because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to do an altar call today. It's a very specific altar call. It's for those who desire prophecy, the prophetic gift. Why am I doing an altar call? Why am I making you get out of your seat to come? I could just pray for you right here, have you desire it in your heart. But again, there's a correlation between the gift giving and the desire that you have. And I want to give you a chance to respond to that desire and say, or let that desire be expressed to God. Say, God, I want it. I desire this gift. I need it. I can't walk in the power of the Holy Spirit or accomplish without you. So I need this gift. But along with that desire, you know, at the beginning, I also talked about, are you willing to use it? With that desire, are you really willing to start walking in it? Right? We pray for patience. And so God's going to put you in situations that's going to test your patience so you can build up that patience. You pray for the gift of healing. You're going to be put in situations where you're going to be around people who are sick. And so you want this gift. You're asking for this gift of prophecy. What's going to happen this week or maybe even after service? You're going to start walking around. You're going to be with your friends, family, or strangers. And suddenly, God's going to be like, I want you to pray for that person. I want you to share this with that person. Are you ready to do that? Again, to help you be ready. Again, it goes back. It's not about you. The gifts aren't for you. How much do you want to touch and impact those around you? And so that is the driving force for you to walk in it, to maybe be a fool. just want to do also one more invitation for also the growing in spiritual gifts 101. So I talked about how it can be scary after service. What if I go to McDonald's and suddenly God says, I want you to share this with this person. And you kind of, and I think it's fine. It's a learning process. It's a learning process. That's how you train it, right? But I want to say this Saturday spiritual gifts course is a safe place to train. And so you're going to be surrounded with other people who are also exploring the gift and where you get to practice implementing this gift. So again, I encourage you to sign up. But again, let's go back to altar call. I want to invite those who desire the gift, who are willing to walk, but also anyone who maybe has received the gift, but you haven't been walking in it, and where it's become almost dormant, that gift, and you want to just commit to like, hey, I'm willing to walk in this now, Lord. Will you give me opportunities to really develop and walk in this gift that you have given me? I want to invite you up to the altar right now, and we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Up here and you're on the receiving end of wanting to receive it, can you just have your hands out in front of you so we know who you are? And I want to invite our congregation, our leaders, if you have the gift, can you come up to pray and impart unto our members for boldness, for the release of the gift into their lives? Thank you.
Let's rise to our feet. And for those up at the front, maybe even take a moment. I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask God for you. Lord, would you just put someone right now, even on their heart, to just pray and prophesy over. It could be someone here. It could be a family member. Impress on them someone on their heart to just pray and in faith also prophesy over, Lord. Yes, God. Just take a moment just to hear from the Lord. Could even be your parents. Let's just sing this song together. Sing it unto the Lord.
Let's sing Ruler of the Nations.
You're so generous. Even as you give us your presence, Holy Spirit, it's more than just you being with us, but you want to manifest and use us through your spiritual gifts. There's so much more that we can experience than just in our own strength, but really through you, Holy Spirit, and your power, Lord. And we recognize that we can't do it in our own strength. To transform people, to touch them, for people to know that you are the real and living God. It can't be through just our words, Lord. We need you to come and touch them, that people would see that you are real, Lord, that you are powerful, that you're able, that you're loving, Lord. And so give us boldness, Lord, that we would be so aware of the opportunities that come, even after service, even this week, and that we would remember it's not about us, Lord. It's about you. It's about being obedient to you, and it's about just serving the people that we care for, Lord, because we desire for them to experience you, Lord. That's our motivation, Lord. And so give us boldness. Give us discernment, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Get ready, people who came to the front, for those chances. If you didn't get a chance to just be prayed for, then just come up and I'd love to pray for you as well.